Now to another kind of culturally significant animal, but the ones in this next story look kind of weird. They're the hairless dogs of Peru, and they've lived there for thousands of years. But a few decades ago, they were in danger of dying out. They look so odd, no one really wanted them. Then a local breeder campaigned to get them recognized as an official breed, and that made them popular again. Now, Peru's Ministry of Culture considers the breed cultural patrimony, and Peruvian hairless dogs are so sought after, they can cost about $1,000 and way more outside Peru. From Lima, Annie Murphy has a story in collaboration with our partner program, Radio Ambulante.
Today, like every day, two Peruvian hairless dogs named Munay and Kunyi leave their pen to wander the Huacapulquiana ruins in Lima with the groundskeeper, Natalio. They act like a lot of dogs. They roll in the dirt, they walk wherever they want, even through an excavation that's going on. They pee on stuff. And then, around noon, they go over to the fancy on-site restaurant. On the patio, waiters lay out silverware and vases of lilies. The dogs make the rounds for pats. Then they make their way to the kitchen, where the cooks have set aside food for them. Usually, it's chicken, lightly seasoned and sautéed. Since Munay and Kunyi are Peruvian hairless dogs, they're considered part of Peru's cultural patrimony. That's why they live here and get treated so well. Still, they're covered in dirt and they have almost no hair, other than scraggly mohawks that make them look kind of like aging punk rockers. A Dutch tourist named Stefan is touring the site with his girlfriend, and they're not too impressed with the dogs.
Pretty ugly.
Naked?
Naked dogs.
Can you guys imagine? I mean, I had never seen a dog like this. And do you have anything like this in Holland?
No, they got more hair.
A few decades ago, that's what a lot of Peruvians thought too. And the fact that they're popular now is largely because of dog expert Hermano Maniero. He spent years working to get them recognized as a breed. Maniero was born in Italy. He says he first saw the hairless dogs as a kid during road trips around Peru with his parents.
My family saw that these dogs were really looked down on. They were always wandering around the town squares. We thought they were sick, but we asked around and learned they were just hairless dogs. And one day, someone told me they were an ancient breed, so I went to a museum to find out.
There, Maniero saw the dogs depicted on ceramics and realized they'd been around for centuries. That's no surprise to Sonia Guillen. She's a bioarchaeologist who's found pre-Columbian remains of Peruvian hairless dogs and other breeds.
The dogs were buried in their own space, and sometimes they had offerings. They had food, or they were wrapped with textiles with a bit of fish put on top of the snout, just a way to send them to the other life with covering and food.
Guillen says that dogs have been part of life here since before even the Inca Empire. Today, many Peruvians believe that hairless dogs have magical properties, that hugging or sleeping with them can relieve asthma and assorted pains. Even Hermano Maniero says it's a good idea to snuggle up with one if you're sick.
Well, instead of using a hot water bottle, what could be better than using a living creature to raise your temperature?
This is just one of many benefits that breeder Alfredo Janot plays up when talking at the dogs at his kennel. He shows me dozens. My favorite is a 3-month-old puppy about the size of a house cat with coppery skin, pinkish-white spots, and fine golden hair on its face. I pick up the puppy, whose skin does feel sort of like a hot water bottle, one covered in thin velvet. Then Janot tells me the price. For you, he says, $900. And just think of the benefits. They don't get fleas, they don't have allergy issues, and above all, they don't bark, he says. Well, at least not the ones that I sell. The thing is, I already have one, named Pihi. He's charcoal-colored, built like a greyhound, with huge floppy ears. My boyfriend got him as a puppy for free from some friends. But these dogs don't like extremes, and we're already wondering how he'll deal with the New England winters when we go back to the U.S., No problem, says Janot. There are a ton of these dogs in Russia and other cold places, he says. People really love them there, truly. They just bundle them up. But first, we'll have to see if we can even get the dog on a plane again. The last time we traveled with him, customs officials threatened to fine us for taking cultural patrimony out of Peru. For Ambulante in the World, I'm Annie Murphy in Lima.